And there's a statue in the background of this cave of a fucking giant gorilla. Like,
who built that? Who built that, by the way?
They did.
With their little gorilla hands?
Yes. They're very tactile. And so, anyways.
Posable thumbs.
Hey guys, welcome to the Titan Truth Podcast. This is episode 224, and with my co-host David, we finally watched Godzilla versus Kong.
So how long did you have that planned for?
As soon as the movie opened with it.
I think it's commendable that as these movies go on more and more, they're like, let's see how crazy we can get. And this one, I didn't think could top Monsters with how like out there the plot is, but they did it.
Yeah.
This one was a little bit of a letdown for me. I think like I still liked it. It still got me in the end.
I can see that.
But I liked King of Monsters way more than I thought I would, and. I don't know, this was like, this had some moments. That fucking first punch from Kong on the ship, it's just like, oh, just a great one. But yeah, I don't know, a little let down, a little out there, but also still like brought it home at the end. And I think this also, one thing I read is that, you know, they got a writing room together to figure out the idea for this, sort of fleshed it out. And then they brought in the writer from King of Monsters so that they could have some continuity from that movie.
Yeah.
But like things like Kyle Chandler's character just sort of being like put to the side. And then like, you know, in the third movie, he's the smartest man in the world. And in this movie, his daughter's like, hey, something's up. He's like, nah, everything's fine.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So when I first watched this was actually pretty soon when it came out on stream. And I watched it, mind you, with no other context. I just watched it as a standalone. And the only part that I was just like, man, I don't get it, but whatever, was who Monster Zero was, because I didn't know it was Ghidorah, and I didn't know who the skull was from. But I was just like, yeah, whatever, I buy it. I don't care. And then the skull crawlers, I was like, I don't know what those are, but fuck it. I don't care. I guess that's that thing that Mecha is killing right now, right? So it was like those two things, and then everything else was just like, it doesn't take big brain to watch these kind of movies,
right? I will say Millie Bobby Brown being like, oh, skull crawlers was like, I guess she had just been really into the research, but you know, that's like
you can know that by looking at her cork board in her room.
Okay, her Charlie Day cork board. Well, so I read that the first cut of this movie is like 5 hours, not like anything that was ever going to make into theaters, but just like taking all the footage he had, Adam Wingard cut together like a 5 hour cut, and then from there obviously cut like 3 hours off.
Release the Wingard cut.
I don't think he wants to. I think he says this is his definitive cut. But like, I guess they brought in Charles Dance to film a scene where he, at the end of the last movie, finds the head and he's like, oh, I want it. You know, we'll take it. So apparently in this movie, there's a scene that was cut from this 5 hour cut where he's like giving it over to this CEO, Walter. And so just like, you know, obviously there was these connections made, but like someone like Kyle Chandler's character completely changes. And then the wildest thing is this fucking, you bring in this podcaster truther character, and then you have Millie Bobby Brown. I mean, like, I don't have a problem with her being in the movie, but it felt like they were like, we have to figure out a way to have her in this movie. And so they come with this like other B plot storyline that isn't really necessary.
I think the issue is that both of the plots felt like B plots, because you had half of the movie where it's like, we got to get King Kong from point A, which is Skull Island, to point B, which I guess ended up being Hong Kong, but they wanted him in the Hollow Earth. And then you have to get the character Godzilla to show up, I guess. And then, so you have Alexander Skarsgård, which I would just like to mention that you thought in the very beginning of this that the movie Tarzan was somehow connected to this film. And unless Tarzan got a full education to like MIT and then showed up in this movie, it's just funny Alexander Skarsgård is in this film.
So a couple fun facts. By the way, the WB intern was working overtime on this movie because in the fun facts section of IMDb, there are 559. Jesus. And a lot of them are just fucking awful. Like, just really bad. For example, I read one to you before we started this, and you told me to read all of them, and I did.
You read all 559?
Yeah, well, so here's the thing, though. Some of the paragraphs are really long. So, like, when they were like, in an interview, VXF's VFX specialist, and they said his name, I was like, I'm not reading that. Like, I don't care about that. Or, like, yeah, just, like, some stuff I just knew I didn't have to keep going. But one of the stupidest ones, like, it was like Godzilla's breath is blue, Mechagodzilla's breath is red, and like as you said when we were talking about this earlier, it's like you could just fucking see that in the movie. Why, that's not a fact that needed to be stated.
You know, it'd be funny if it's we're just being really insensitive, and you're reading like how blind people could enjoy this movie, and we're like, God, there's so much talking. There's so much in this.
Well, if they're blind, they would have to have it like read to them. I mean, maybe it's for colorblind people.
There's an accessibility, yeah. They're I don't know. Enough.
Anyway, but in there it says Alexander Skarsgård played Tarzan in 2016's Legend of Tarzan. In the comic book series, The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, created by Alan Moore, the characters of Tarzan, King Kong, and Godzilla exist in the same universe. So,
wow.
There's that.
You know, I also
Alexander Skarsgård played Tarzan, a character created by Edgar Rice Burroughs, who also wrote a series of books that take place in the Pellucidar? Pellucidar is his name for land at the Earth's center, much like Hollow Earth in this film. So I wasn't far off base.
Yeah. Well, point is Alexander Skarsgård is in here. So, yeah. Yeah. And he's probably, like, I don't want to say the best part of the movie, but he is one of the best parts of the movie.
You know what's amazing about him is he has this like leading man face and quality about him.
Right.
And his character in this movie is actually really well done. In like, he has a fucking arc, right? Like he's a coward in the beginning. Like his acting is actually really good in a movie that is, you know, doesn't deserve that level of it. By the way, another thing I read that I wish had been in a fun fact in the other movies. So you remember the black guy who was the assistant scientist under John Goodman in Kong Skull Island?
Oh, is
Joe Morton.
Joe Morton is the son?
No, that's him. That's him all grown up, apparently. He's playing that character from Kong Skull Island. Kong Skull Island takes place in the 70s. He then grows up and stays with Monarch, and he is that character in 2014.
I always find it when they recast to like have an older character, but the character that they're making older is already a man. Like, it's not a little boy. It's like a full-grown man. Just an older, different man.
I mean, what are you going to do? Like, they have to have some... first of all, they don't have to have him in there. Second of all, there's no explanation. I don't think we hear that character's name in King of Monsters. Maybe we do, but I wasn't certainly going to make that connection.
Did you... maybe you can make this connection since you read every fun fact. So when the Walter guy, CEO, Elon Musk kind of guy, is going to Alexander Skarsgård to recruit him, they're in this middle of this conversation. And then all of a sudden he gets low and he's like, I'm sorry about your brother. And they're like, well, the brother, my brother went into Hollow Earth, but they did not, you know, account for the gravitational pull. So they were flattened and killed. Anyways, I was thinking, okay, there's two things, right? I missed something about the brother. Or we're going to meet the brother when they went to Hollow Earth. But no, I guess not. Like, he's trapped there for all these years. Now, he's Tarzan, played by Bill Skarsgård. That'd be hilarious. But what was that about? That seems so random and unnecessary.
It's just a shoehorned in detail. I guess at one point it was going to be his fiance. It doesn't do anything. I mean, because the movie attempts in a lot of ways, and they all have done this, to like kind of build this backstory, but they do it very haphazardly, very like shorthand, where like, they're like, this guy's a crazy loon who's lost family members to this Hollow Earth theory.
Yeah.
But then like in 10 minutes, he's proven to be correct, and they go, you know, they go to Hollow Earth.
Well, it's kind of like Bryan Cranston's character. He's a crazy loon that believes in monsters. But then, yeah, he's correct. It's, you know.
Well, he at least had to deal with 15 years of it. And we sort of felt that because we started in the beginning with him.
That's true. That's true. I also want to point out, like, Kyle Chandler's character at the end of this, where he goes and hugs Millie Bobby Brown. And then Josh shows up and Josh is like, it wasn't my idea. It was her idea. And he goes, shut up, Josh. I guess we're just supposed to know that, like, he knows Josh. They're like friends of his daughter that he just knows. It's just kind of weird because we never see them interact.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know. I think I thought the line was funny. Kyle Chandler, once again, like, very little to do is, it does a lot with that one little bit. So we also talked about how Lance, before the pod, Lance Reddick is in this.
As one of the last
movies he was appeared in while that was released while he was alive. And he had a much bigger part in this that had to be cut down. Zhang Ziyi was also in this movie, but she had her part cut.
Wow.
So just a bunch of stuff taken out.
John Goodman was in this movie, but he had his part cut.
He was in the stomach of a skull crawler. Then there's this part, you talk about details that are just shoehorned in. There's this Asian character that works for the CEO. Then they're like, Mr. Sarazawa. So that's the son, but no one ever says that's Ken Watanabe's son, but it is.
And he's a bad guy now?
He's a bad guy. He has an ulterior purpose. In the novelization, there's maybe like a little hint at like some jealousy that his father devoted so much time to Godzilla and not his family. I don't know, man.
I liked how he just was a really moody Asian guy in the background of most of these like shots that he's in. He's like with his hair in front of his face. I'm like, give that dude a samurai sword. I don't know. Just like have him go and like fucking fight Godzilla one on one.
Well, I mean, that's what he tries to do eventually. Let's get to the start. So we start in Skull Island, with basically an homage to the Truman Show. There's a lot of these in this movie, where he's in Skull Island with this little girl who is one of like the tribe's people. I guess they've all been wiped out since the Kong Skull Island movie. And he takes a tree and chucks a spear into the sun and you realize that, all right, this is just a compound that has been built on the real Skull Island.
Yeah, it's like you almost wonder, it's like, why not just do kind of what they did at the end, where it's just use Skull Island, right? Well, why build a monarch compound on Skull Island? And also, like, how do you build that around Kong?
I think he allows it. One thing I read in some of the fun facts actually explain this stuff, because they wrote a novelization of this movie. And I guess in between King of Monsters and this movie, they're worried about the Titans attacking Kong. So they're trying to protect him and keep him on this on this island, which they sort of allude to when she's like, if he leaves this island, Godzilla will attack. So that's why, like, the whole time they're trying to keep him there.
I do enjoy like the beginning opening credits of this, where it shows Godzilla fighting this guy, getting the best of him. King Kong fighting this guy, getting the best of him. And then at the end, it's the two, like, alpha titans is Kong and Godzilla. And I guess we're just also supposed to, like all the titans except for Kong at the end of King of the Monsters bow down to Godzilla. We don't see any of those here. They're all gone. I guess we can just assume either Godzilla killed some of them and Kong killed some of them. Now they're all wiped out.
Well, the reason, yeah, and they all bow down, but as you know, Kong bows to no one.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of just like it's like after you have an Avengers movie when you just have an Iron Man 3 and like no one shows up to help him. And it's like, why is he on his own?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's true. It's I also like the callbacks to Vera Farmiga's character where they're like, Millie Bobby Brown, she's like, do you know who I am? Or you look familiar. And I think that both of those happen in this movie. And they're like, oh, you're Emma's daughter.
Well, at one point, there's a newspaper article, I think, in Millie Bobby Brown's room that has her mom on there. And it's like, hero or villain? I was like, very much villain.
Yeah.
Very much.
Very. Yeah,
there's no other way to see this.
About it, yeah.
So we next get, we go to Pensacola, Florida, as some of us have always, you know, when you make that mistake and you go to Pensacola. So, and this is where we meet the podcaster, and he is working at Apex, which is a organization that we'll hear a lot about, but we've never heard about before, who is really interested in the Titans, and he's going to steal files, and he is also a podcaster, which, you know, it's a thing people do now. I don't get it. And then Godzilla shows up. And I got to tell you, when this happened, it was like so kind of haphazard and out of nowhere. And you don't know what's going on. And then like the guy, Bernie, played by Brian Tyree Henry, like sort of like discovers this, like, which I guess turns out to be Mechagodzilla's eye, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I was like, is this something that Apex has faked so that they can, you know what I mean?
It's no, so it's a real Godzilla attack, but the reason is manufactured, right? They want Godzilla, or they want to label Godzilla as like this constant threat upon humanity, so that when they release their Mecha Godzilla, they can be like, look, we need this. You need to fund us and like have faith in us that we can protect you. And then Millie Bobby Brown and the podcaster and Josh, they're all trying to prove, they're like, no, 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 Godzilla wouldn't have. And this is actually kind of cool. Like, I'm not going to say this. It's like, wins any awards in the Screenwriting Guild, right? But this part is kind of cool where you're like, okay, so how does Godzilla know, or why does he care that they're building this Mecha Godzilla of him, right? And then you find out that they use two of Ghidorah's heads, one for like the controlling of the mecha and then one inside the mecha. And the reason, like the reasoning they give for that is they're like, well, he's an alien and he had three heads quite far apart. So he needed a telepathic way of communicating between all the heads, which I'm like, okay, fine. And they're like that. And the somehow the skulls still have the telepathic energy that they can absorb and use. But they can't use Mechagodzilla like completely until they have the hollow earth vibranium sort of material down there. And not, oh my god, they don't even have to extract it and bring it to them. They just have to scan it in another dimension and it's uploaded in the fucking Apex facility. And they're like, good enough. But then it's not good enough because it kills Sarazawa's son. I'm just explaining this because we have a lot to go through, okay? But it kills Sarazawa's son, and then Mechagodzilla becomes sentient through that process, and there we go. That's that plot point.
I was paying attention to very little of what you're saying. I did the part where you were like, oh, they find this like mineral, this power source in the bottom. And they don't need to even take it back up to the top layer. They just can analyze it. And by analyzing it, they can then power Mechagodzilla. It's fucking crazy town. Yeah. But the whole time you were talking, I was just like, so obviously Charles Dance got them the first head. The other head ended up in Boston, right? That's where Godzilla ripped it apart and spit it out. Do you think, and we talked about, you know, who used the Fenway better, the town movie or this. And I just like was imagining like some fucking Charlestown Southie guy like the head ends up on his lawn, and he's like, what does he put it up on eBay? Or like, how does Apex end up with the fucking second head? He's just like, is it a buy it now, or does he do an auction? Like, this is the big score.
I was saying some really fucking poignant stuff. I was like really going in and getting through this plot. You know?
I don't think reiterating the plot of this movie is poignant. Anyway, just how they got that second head is funny to me. But anyway, we are now, there has been the attack, and Kyle Chandler's like, shit, I got to go to work. And we do get the one part when Brian Tyree Henry goes into like the safety area, or like the security area, and the guys pull guns on him. But then Godzilla happens to shoot that area. One thing that's unclear from the movie, I was going to say this earlier, and then you started regurgitating plot and I wasn't paying attention. It's unclear if like they turned on Ghidorah's head to entice Godzilla to attack, or if it just like it happened and they were like, all right, you know, yeah, what I mean? Like, because they then are like, all right, fuck, we got to get all of this shit to Hong Kong now to get out of here. Like, they keep they using the underground tunnels to keep getting farther away from Godzilla. But so it's unclear if it's well thought out, because like at the end of the movie, when the CEO just gets fucking eaten, it's like very clearly they didn't well think out any of this.
No, of course not. And they don't even like, they're messing with powers that they don't understand what they do. Another funny thing is like, it feels like from every point of the movie, like all these movies, Hollow Earth is something different. Like,
How did Serizawa and them get through to, is Godzilla's lair not Hollow Earth? That's a no, different part
a
of
different, it's a different thing.
That
it's
doesn't like, require a special ship to get into?
No, that's like Atlantis, dude. So it's kind of insane. So Hollow Earth isn't even fucking mentioned in the first Godzilla.
The first three movies of this MonsterVerse.
No. In Kong Skull Island, Hollow Earth is mentioned by John Goodman, and they're trying to investigate it. They're trying to send those pulses to like figure out what Hollow Earth is. But what doesn't make sense is that what it's trying to tell you, it's like it's a series of tunnels under the Earth's crust that all these monsters are like inhabiting under there. There's like a whole ecosystem under the Earth's crust. And then in this movie, they're like, oh, it's an entire planet inside our planet that, well, and what that doesn't make sense to me is because our planet's core has to be denser in the middle than the rest of the planet. That's how gravity works. That's how, you know, planets keep alignment. But now they're like, oh no, it's completely hollow in there. But I was like, okay, maybe I'm misunderstanding this. Maybe they have to go through the portal, and the portal's in the Earth's crest, and the portal takes them to like a different dimension. So like,
who created this portal too?
God.
It just, oh, that's true. Yeah. All right, there we go. Yeah. Can't question that. Like when I was saying earlier that the Hollow Earth.
Zilla.
Damn you. When I was saying earlier, they didn't talk about Hollow Earth. I meant like, obviously they talk about the tunnel system, right? Cause Bradley Whitford's character talks about it in the last movie too. But like the fact that there's this journey to the center of the Earth place in the middle is not something that we really was discussed previously. Let's get back to it. So Millie Bobby Brown, we're now basically following her timeline for a little bit, where she's listening to this podcast. She calls her friend Josh. She's like, and she can't convince her dad about this. And so then she is looking for a guy with who's bought a lot of bleach. And then we just get this funny little interaction with the guy who sells, Ronnie Chang, who like sells stuff. Yeah. And like, you know, could you just tell us? And he's like, I'm not going to say shit. And then puts down the $100. And he's like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy. Like, I'll give you whatever information you need.
I can even tell you where he lives. And if you buy a fish, although we never see them with the fish, although that would be funny if they just brought like a live fish through the rest of this movie. I just want to bounce back to Alexander Skarsgård plot here, because we have like this time where this just random woman is now like basically the blonde, like in every King Kong movie, there's like this blonde that completely fascinates King Kong, right? And she's not blonde, but it's this woman. And then there's a little deaf girl, and then they form a connection with Kong. Is it insane that they just brought this little girl everywhere they go?
I think because Rebecca Hall is in charge, right? So, and she's like, we need the little girl because that's who he listens to. I mean, she says later on in the movie that he would have fucking torn these ships to pieces if she wasn't there.
Look, fine. The ship, okay. Even to Antarctica, fine. Going inside Hollow Earth with her is insane.
Yeah, but I mean, she's this little indigenous girl that like basically belongs to Rebecca Hall now. Like, who else is going to say no? Who's going to stop her? This is Rebecca Hall's call.
Yeah. But this is insane of Rebecca Hall.
Yeah, whatever. What are you going to do?
Even if it is her call.
So let's go back a little bit. So the CEO goes to talk to Alexander Skarsgård. We already talked about that. And then he goes to Rebecca Hall and he's like, a Titan would show us the way, talking about Kong. And she has said, if Kong leaves, Godzilla's going to attack. But like in a couple sentences, she's like, okay, we can take Kong to Antarctica. Which, why didn't you fucking fly him from the beginning?
Easy there. Easy. We have to have a cool underwater fight with Kong and Godzilla. All right. And it was pretty awesome. It was pretty cool.
I mean, the homage to Jaws was awesome.
Yeah.
The him jumping from ship to ship. The punch was really great. I don't understand the logistics of if those ships could hold up these two things that are 300 feet each.
I don't know, dude.
That doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. And like the way he throws a plane at Kong throws a plane at Godzilla at one point, and the guy ejects as the plane hits him. There is like a bunch of stuff I read, which it makes sense looking back at it, that basically Godzilla's toying with him the whole time. That he just basically wants to make him subservient, but he's like not actually worried about losing this fight, which makes sense.
Yeah.
He's bigger. Definitely. He has atomic breath.
Yeah.
Hard to compete with.
That's helpful. Also, I like the little hint where it's like Kong is down on the ship and he looks over and he sees the little girl. And they turn off all the ships at this point because they're like, we have to make it so that everyone's subservient to Godzilla. And so King Kong's about to get back up and he sees the little girl and he's like, fuck. This is my imagining of like Kong's thought process. He goes, fuck. If I keep fighting Godzilla, which, you know, maybe I can win this, maybe I can't. The little girl is definitely going to fucking die. So I gotta play dead for this little girl. You know,
and they have that moment earlier where they touch fingers.
Oh, and she can communicate with him through sign language, which Rebecca Hall was like the most shocked. Although the amount of shock on her face was like insurmountable. However, we all know that gorillas can learn sign language. Like, it's not that shocking.
But it's not a gorilla, man. And she's been trying,
I guess.
We go back to the podcaster, and there is the funny thing when they meet up with him. He's like, to Millie Bobby Brown, tap or no tap? She's like, no tap. And Josh is like, what the fuck are you guys talking about? He's like, fluoride makes you docile. He's like, I drink tap water. He's like, yeah, I could tell. Pretty good stuff.
Trick they picked up with the Nazis.
And then they go to... they go back in, they sneak in, and they find the crawlers, and they're sent to Hong Kong. This is the only really connection where it's like this is an Elon Musk type guy. It's like the underground tunnels. Like, you know, because he had that like underground tunnel thing going on for a while that sort of died off. But otherwise, it's not really like playing up an Elon Musk connection, really.
It had like a funny name. What was the name of Elon Musk's tunnel?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Defunct. It's called defunct now. So we talked about the fight in the water. Really cool. The shot of Godzilla in the fire in the background because of like all the ships that had been destroyed is like each one of these movies has a really fucking cool shot like that.
It's called The Boring Company.
Oh my God. I knew you were going to do that too. I could see you Googling in the background.
Yeah.
Because everyone, like, people were shouting at their podcast, like, it's The Boring Company, you idiots. So you had to let them know that you know how to Google.
Yep.
One thing I will say, Godzilla didn't look that great in this movie. And I think I think a lot of that had to do with like lighting. You know, they kept it darker in the other ones.
Yeah, I it's hard to make Godzilla. I feel like it's hard to make Godzilla look really good in the face, because he's these really big scales and he has these tiny little eyes and these tiny little nostrils. So it feels like all of his features get lost in his scales.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. And then they just decide to fly him the rest of the way to Antarctica. I imagine the gas cost of that and then refilling it. Like, you're not making it the whole way. But he doesn't really believe the little girl when she's like, your home is that way. Even though I was like, yeah, she's fucking lying. But it turns out she was right. That was like his original home was down there.
Yeah.
Obviously, like a 2001 Space Odyssey, like homage when they're like going through the portal, you know, with the like the lights, the way they're.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And then Maya, who is the CEO's daughter, shows up as like the muscle.
I like how, like, very quickly she establishes herself as, like, a bitch.
You know what? Every tough, like, woman who just, you know, knows her value in society and, like, wants to be treated like the boss that she is. Oh, yeah, a lot of people think those are bitches, Alon, and maybe you should learn to respect and not think that way, you know?
She put a gun on a little girl.
Well, that was later in the end. That was, like, towards the end.
Oh, okay.
I mean, that's boss bitch behavior, so I don't really understand.
Okay.
You know, she got hers. She got hers. I know Garrett was very upset when that happened. So they get through the Hollow Earth. The way, like, the gravity changes and the way, like, the plane starts falling past Kong and Skarsgård, like, locks eyes with him and they're like, yeah. Oh, fuck. All that shit was so cool. And then it's just, like, them finding their way to this power source, the flying dragons that attack, pretty yep, sweet.
That's pretty cool.
He drinks from the head of one of them. Gross, but badass.
I think she says gross too.
She was right. She was right.
Can you imagine that direction? Because it's like, they can't see any of this shit, right? It's all green screen and whatnot. So it's like, Adam Wingard is just standing on the side and he's like, okay, he's ripping the head off. He's ripped the head off. They're coming. Okay. He's drinking it. He's drinking their blood.
Now you say gross, and what you're looking at is something gross.
And action.
Yeah. And then we cut to the team landing in Hong Kong, and they like go into this pit that's like reminiscent of like, I don't know, the Hulk Thor pit where they're fighting. Like, you know, some bad shit's going down. They see some skulls. No one notices these three people running around in this pit. I guess just because it's so fucking huge for Mechagodzilla to fit in that they just can't see him and it's dark.
Yeah.
Mechagodzilla's there and a Skullcrawler's there and Mechagodzilla kills him, but they need a power source.
I just want to mention real quick. Do you remember in the other movie, they're like, one guy's like, when they first see Godzilla, they're like, God. And then another guy's like, Zilla. You kind of have that moment here where Bernie goes, oh my God, they built a robot Godzilla. And Josh goes, it's not a robot Godzilla. It's a mecha Godzilla.
You know, your impression at first, I was like, oh, that's not bad. But then you kept going. And I was like, I don't know what that is, but it worked. And then they find out they're using the head from Ghidorah or Ghidorah. I don't know. I corrected you earlier. Now I don't fucking know. Yeah, look at that. And then we keep going back and forth. Kong is putting the axe in the ground for the power source. And this is what we were talking about earlier. They take a fucking sample of this, analyze it with their little robot, and then now apparently the power source. This power source is like the entire MacGuffin of this movie. And I think that's the major problem of this movie, is that this movie has this convoluted plot that moves at a breakneck speed just to get to monster fights.
And I don't have an issue with that.
Just, I wish it was a little better.
But see, here it's just how they put it all together, right? And it's like, all right, we're just overanalyzing this dumb monster movie. But this is what we're here for, right? This throne that Kong is sitting in is obviously his throne. That axe is obviously his axe. and there's a fucking statue in the background of this cave of a fucking giant gorilla. Like,
who built that? Who built that, by the way?
They did.
With their little gorilla hands?
Yes. They're very tactile. And so, anyways. Posable
thumbs.
So they're doing this, right? And then he sees the indent on the ground. He's like, oh, that's the perfect shape for my axe. He puts the axe in there and it glows. But did you see the shape where it glowed from?
No.
It glows as Godzilla.
Ooh, did I notice that?
So it glows Godzilla, but this is Kong's throne. Why?
That's because Godzilla lives in his head 24/7, baby.
So anyways, this signals Godzilla.
Yeah, and this is when Maya just is like, all right, we got what we need, and fucking pulls guns, and then Kong looks over, he's like, the fuck you do? And then as she's trying to escape on her little plane, she shoots at King Kong, and he just like grabs the thing, and I like the way he looks. He's like, all right, yeah, I don't care if any of those people die, and just kills them.
I never realized that that's what he was doing when he was looking in there. He was just making sure none of the three main characters were in there, and then he just fucking...
I don't know. He just cared about the little girl, probably, honestly. And he's like, yeah, you know, you like Rebecca Hall, too, so I'll let her live. Godzilla uses his atomic breath to burrow a hole to the center of the Earth.
If I have a question for you. If you have to get into a special little heave mobile and go through a portal to get to the hollow Earth, how the fuck did Godzilla's breath get there?
I don't know, because it's that powerful.
I do like the fact that Hong Kong just so happens to be right over where King Kong is in the hollow Earth. Like, they're just perfectly aligned. And the only reason that Godzilla is in Hong Kong is because he sensed Ghidorah's skull being activated through Mechagodzilla, right? So when he shoots down and he's burrowing in the center of the Earth, to Kong's perspective and the people down there, it's shooting up. I thought that was awesome.
Shooting up? What do you mean?
So he's shooting down, but the shot is coming from the ground.
Oh, gotcha. By the way, Alon, Kong is in the center of the Earth. Wherever in the Earth Godzilla shot straight down, it would hit the center of the Earth.
I guess, man.
That's how a sphere works. I don't know if you're aware.
That place looks fucking huge, dude. I don't know. I don't know if it's a sphere or what. I do like how at the end of the movie, they can just apparently freely just go in and out now. I guess that's going to play into the movie that we're going to go see next week. But I like Kyle Chandler looking out at Kong, shooting straight into the ground, going, what the hell is that?
Do you imagine they just put a tarp over it? They're just like, all right, we're just going to cover that up. No one fall in there because there's not a lot we can do.
I'm pretty sure they build like a giant super elevator using that, going from Hollow Earth up and down.
Fucking spoiler alerts, man.
No, we... Okay.
So we then get the fight. And while this is happening, Serizawa is having an argument with the CEO about, oh, we shouldn't use Mechagodzilla right now because we don't know. It's untested. And the CEO is like, fuck off. We're doing it. We're doing this right now. And then they also capture the spies at the very same time. And I like as soon as they unleash Mechagodzilla, just fucking kills the CEO like immediately.
Dude, it's awesome. It's awesome because they're like Millie Bobby Brown, Josh and Bernie are all looking at like through the window and they just see Mechagodzilla slowly turning on them. And they're like, oh, fuck. And I love Bernie's line. He goes, oh, man, that's unfair. I really wanted to hear the end of his speech.
He is very good in this movie. The King Kong Godzilla fight is very cool. I think Wingard, and one of the things he said is like, this whole movie, I just want to see these two things fighting in a neon city, which is exactly what it gave us. It is cool. You can tell the whole time, though, like, I guess I had this movie spoiled for me, sort of. Like, I knew, but you know Godzilla's gonna win.
You had the movie Godzilla versus Kong spoiled for you, knowing that they're gonna verse each other?
No. That's the title. Knowing that Godzilla was, like, gonna be dominant. And I guess my point is, like, that can't really be ruined for you because, like, it's so fucking obvious, as we said, that he had, like, that he is dominant.
Well, you didn't see the axe coming into play, right? And yeah. Also, you did not see Mechagodzilla
appearing. Thor loaned him that or something. Well, I mean, as the movie goes along, you know they're going to become friends because these both are, like, friends, you know. You know that they're, like, going to have an understanding with each other. Like, it was cool when he takes Kong to the ground and he growls at him and it's, like, the cover of the movie.
Yeah.
And Kong just growls back. It's like, it reminds me of that meme from Ozarks that, like, the daughter, you're going to have to fucking kill me.
I love that. We need to somehow get a clip of that and then just put her voice in there.
Well, you'd have them growling and then, yeah, just have her. Anyway, we say all that. We're not going to get that done by the time we need to.
Maybe.
But Godzilla just sort of is like, okay, you didn't bow, but you're my bitch now. And then Mechagodzilla comes out and is kicking the shit out of Godzilla. Kong is dying over there, and Skarsgård in his hero moment, which it is funny, the callback, he's like signs to her what he thinks means brave, but it actually means coward because they were making fun of him earlier.
That's probably the best written part of this whole movie. Like they bring that back and he's like, you are the most cowardice little girl I know. And then she knows he thinks that that's brave. So she smiles at him and he goes, mate. And she goes, no, you're the coward. And he goes, maybe we both are.
And then he has his hero moment where he goes and jump starts the heart, trying to escape. He sort of does, gets kind of hit a little bit. And then I think the best fight scene is the two of them against Mechagodzilla.
Dude, when Godzilla looks at Kong, so he's behind Mecha, Kong is being pinned down by Mecha through a skyscraper. He looks up at the axe and Godzilla loads up and shoots at the axe. The way Kong is looking as the axe is being charged is just so awesome. He's like, yeah, this is how we're gonna fucking win.
What they should have done is had a moment where Godzilla picks up the axe like Captain America and the whole theater screams and then he just fucks up Mechagodzilla.
I wonder if there's like a larger fan base for this movie where people did go ape shit, get it? But they did go crazy when Godzilla like shot the axe and charged it up.
I don't know, because then he just fucking cuts Mechagodzilla to bits and tears his head off. And that's basically how the movie ends. Well, the movie ends with Godzilla and Kong waking back up and all the people of Hong Kong being like, can you guys please stop? And Godzilla looks over at Kong and Kong drops the axe, burying the hatchet, and then Godzilla goes off into the water. And that was supposed to be the end of the movie. And then he filmed a stinger, and the stinger was Kong in Hollow Earth. But then Wingard said that, one, he felt like just putting Kong in Hollow Earth was a better ending. And two, he was like, you know, these movies were leading up to Godzilla versus Kong. So having a stinger at the end of this sort of didn't make sense because he was like, given the pandemic and like the storyline of these movies, he's like, it was basically up to the audience if there was anything more after this, like if the reception, if it made money, you know, that would determine if they kept going. And so he was like, you know, a stinger wasn't really needed.
Yeah.
I mean, I really love the ending where, you know, you just see Kong kind of down there happy and they're monitoring down there now. And he's like home, like it's a happy ending. Made me tear up.
Well, if a monkey movie can make you tear up, it's doing its job. Actually, I take that back because the fucking Peter Jackson King Kong makes me tear up every time. The whole franchise up to this point has been leading to Godzilla versus Kong, I guess. I am very curious, and I guess this movie made a lot of money, so I am very curious where they go from here. What are they going to do in this Godzilla versus Kong 2? Although I think it's just called Godzilla and Kong. So,
yeah. Well, have you not seen the trailer for it?
I've seen bits and pieces of the trailer. Like, I've seen the teaser. I don't think I've ever seen the whole trailer. You've seen the whole trailer?
I saw parts of it, and it made it seem like they're teaming up to fight other Kongs or something. There's other Kongs appearing.
Oh.
But I don't know. There was a lot of facts in this about the costume design for these characters. One of the things that was cut out was Skarsgård character was supposed to be a huge 80s movies nerd, and that, like, there's a scene where he just talks about Lethal Weapon 2 the whole time. First of all, I don't know if you notice him wearing the Marty McFly vest at the end of the movie, but that was like a purposeful homage. And then after Kong gets his heart restarted, his shoulder is out of place. And like Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon, he hits it against the building to crack it back into place to then like go fight Mechagodzilla, which I thought was like really funny. And like a lot of the homages in like the entirety of the MonsterVerse are so very obvious, but they are cool. Like that Lethal Weapon one was really cool to me.
So let me ask you this. If you could bring this movie to like its sequel to like one more level above this, what would you do? What would you have Godzilla and Kong do that would like blow you away?
We find out that Ghidorah is alive. His spawn is alive. He's an alien. So Kong and Godzilla have to go to his planet and fight on his terms.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. I mean, but also if you just do that in the Hollow Earth, it's going to look as cool. But I don't know, we've sort of explored the Hollow Earth.
Go to space. Get they go space to Mars. Godzilla.
They fuck up Ghidorah on Mars.
That's
cool. I mean, you're going to have to introduce something else, obviously.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to go see it. And you know, I was thinking about how we could do this, how we could like still talk about it, cuz we've for this entire month, we fit the entire MonsterVerse in. So why not this movie coming out? I think we should do our first bonus episode on Godzilla and King Kong. Okay, guys, thank you for joining us for another Titans Truth episode 224. I'm Alon. This is my co-host, David.
Guys, always go out there searching for Titans and the truth, because we finally watch Godzilla vs. Kong.